This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation with a tremendous problem of polarization and atomization and people going into their different corners and their different silos and their different communities with very little interchange between people with very different levels of education or economic wealth or the kinds of jobs that people hold. What was one of the few areas in which people used to get together across social lines, against economic lines, beyond that, and to actually interact with people who might be significantly different from you? It was actually in church or in synagogue or in places of worship. Now that is not so much the case because of the decline in church attendance. It hasn't been uniform. It's particularly hit certain economic statuses and people from various socioeconomic groups. Ryan Burge, who's been a guest on this show before, has a new book. It's called The Great De-Churching. Who's leaving? Why are they going? And what will it take to bring them back? He also had a terrific piece in the Wall Street Journal just a couple of days ago under the heading Houses of Worship Shouldn't Mirror the Class Divide. Ryan, isn't it one of those, because you wrote a prior book called 20 Myths About Religion and Politics in America. Is one of the myths about religion, and I certainly get this impression from reading your material, is it one of the myths about religion that people who are religious are, as the Washington Post once said about the followers of Pat Robertson, that the religious people, evangelical Christians, are poor, uneducated, and easily led? If you remember that notorious slander. That's never been true, that religious people are primarily poor and uneducated, right?
Yeah. If you look at, you can look at the data any way you want. The people who are the most likely to identify with the religious tradition, I mean, they don't identify as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular, are people with the highest levels of education. Actually, to get even more fine-grained, the ideal level of education in terms of religion are those with master's degrees. They are the least likely to be non-religious. The most likely to be non-religious are people with a high school diploma or less. And it's not just affiliation, it's also attendance. The people right now that are the most likely to attend synagogue, mosque, or church are those with a college degree or more. Those who are the least likely to attend are those with a high school diploma or less. You can see it across all these different strata that education is synonymous with religion. They're not antithetical to each other. Actually, the more educated people, the more likely to be going to church each Sunday.
Okay, so why is that, do you think? And why is it that with this great de-churching, which is what your new book is about, it has particularly struck people with limited education?
Yeah, I think that people with higher levels of education have higher levels of trust. And the problem is the causal arrow goes a bunch of ways there, right? Are people who are more trusting more likely to go to college, or are people who go to college are more likely to be trusting? Those things run together for a lot of folks. And what people who go to college and get a higher level of education understand is that social connections are super important to life, to getting a job, to keeping a job, to getting insurance, to buying a car, to getting an eye doctor. You know, everything in life depends on connections. And so they want to be part of communities where there are lots of connections with people who can maybe help them move up the socioeconomic ladder. And where do you find those social groups? Well, in most communities across America, the Elks, the Moose, the VFW, the American Legion are all fading. They're closing by the hundreds. The Boy Scouts are closing down, for goodness sakes. And one of the very last vestiges of social interaction in American society is houses of worship. So a lot of people go to church because not because they particularly believe in Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad. They go because they want to see and be seen and build connections and social networks with other people, and that's exactly what houses of worship provide.
So what can be done if it's a problem and your piece in the journal indicates that it is, that people who never attend religious services, it's now reached 75, which it has never been before. That's people who not only are nuns, they have no particular religious affiliation, they just never go. They don't see the inside of a religious institution. Why is it that tendency to pull away from religious institutions has hit harder at people who are economically struggling?
Well, I think part of it is they just don't have the time. I wrote a piece for my Substack called "Religion is a Luxury Good." You know, it's something that if you throw things overboard to keep the boat afloat. Church is one of the first things that goes for lots of people. If it's work or church, they're going to pick work because they have to pay the mortgage and buy groceries and just live their lives. And church is sort of an ancillary benefit. You know, it's not immediate. And so I think for a lot of people who work odd shifts, right, work night shifts, work weekend shifts, work multiple jobs, they just don't have the time. Literally, they don't have the time to go to church, or they don't have the energy to go to church, or they go to the local mega church and they see a bunch of, you know, newer model SUVs in the parking lot and a lot of people wearing fairly nice clothes, and they don't see a lot of people that work in the same workplace they do. And they think, wow, this is not for people like me. We're very good at picking up subtle clues like that. And so they might go once, they might go twice, but they just don't feel home there. They don't feel comfort there, and it's probably just easier to stay home.
So what can houses of worship do to appeal to people across these class divides?
Yeah, I think one thing we need to think about a lot more is that the religious world, theologians are taught to think about the religious world in a vertical way. That's everything's about spirituality, about theology, about God, about prayer and all those kind of things, which I don't want to discount at all. I'm also a pastor myself. But we also have to understand that there's a very real horizontal component to religion, a sociological component to religion, and understand that people will come for the wrong reasons sometimes and stick around for the right reasons. So, you know, if we're seeking connection, why don't we create spots in religious communities where connection is possible? I write in the Wall Street Journal piece about a church in Chicago that just has a farmer's market in their parking lot once a week and has bounce houses for the kids and crafts for the kids and just creates space for people to hang out and enjoy time with each other without any constraints or any obligations. I think houses of worship need to think about being the meeting spaces they were in American society 100 years ago. They have great auditoriums and great dining halls and great yards and lawns for all these activities. Why not use them to try to bring members of the community in and build those bridges?
What about the, we talked about this the last time you were on the air, the involvement of politics and religious faith. That doesn't always work to unify congregations, does it?
Yeah, I think I'll be clear about this. Pastors are not the ones doing that kind of stuff on an average. I wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal last year where I made that point crystal clear. We asked over 1,000 people who went to church every week. We gave them a list of 10 issues, political issues, things like immigration, health care, abortion, same-sex marriage, just voting. We asked them, how many of these issues has your pastor talked about from the pulpit in the last 12 months? And 30% of people chose zero of those 10 issues. And another 22% chose only one out of 10. So half of Americans who go to church every week hear one or zero issues, political issues from the pulpit in the last 12 months. So it's not the pastors doing the politicking. Very few of them want to do that. It's from the bottom up. It's people in the pew, people in the Bible study, people walking in and out of the sanctuary. That's where politics is brought up. I think that's a really hard thing to fight back against. But I think pastors need to start thinking about who is discipling our folks on Sunday morning. Is it Tucker or is it me as the pastor? And I think pastors need to take a more active role in that.
Ryan Burge, it's terrific to speak to you. His piece on Houses of Worship Shouldn't Mirror the Class Divide is posted at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back with more on divisions and unity in America.
Her public resignation from the New York Times exposing bias and anti-Semitism shook the nation. She is the author of The Twitter Files, which exposed the orchestrated bias against conservatives in social media. On Friday, October 13th, join featured speaker Barry Weiss at Washington Policy Center's annual dinner. WPC is your voice for market-based reforms. It exposed the new so-called excise tax on capital gains as an income tax, no matter what officials call it. And while the governor and cap-and-trade advocates promised minimal to no impact on gas prices, WPC warned it would raise the tax you pay on gas by approximately 45 cents a gallon. And WPC research showed the encroachment of critical race theory in Washington's classrooms. WPC provides the insight and analysis you need to stay informed and to act. Subscribe to WPC's free weekly newsletter and support improving our state with free market principles. October 13th in Bellevue at the Hyatt Regency. Ticket and sponsorship details at WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
A special spiritual journey.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Well, it's not exactly a spiritual journey, and it isn't a it isn't a journey that worked out well. But there's a front page headline at the Wall Street Journal, which actually it's tough not to gloat a little bit. I mean, I know that enjoying other people's misfortune is not an admirable quality. But the headline on the Wall Street Journal is Russian spacecraft crashes into moon. The story...
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, big one. This is a report by Bojan Panchevsky, and he writes, Russia's first mission to the moon in nearly 50 years ended in a disaster as its unmanned Luna 25 spacecraft crashed while attempting to land on the unexplored South Pole, Russian authorities said yesterday. Russia was racing with India to become the first nation to land a rover on the area of the moon that scientists believe could hold water and other elements that would support human settlement in the future. So there's not going to be a little Potemkin village up there, no Russian settlement that's going to make it to that. India is still on the way. The Luna 25 probe was launched on a Soyuz 2-1B rocket on August 11th from the Vostochny Cosmodrome in Russia's Far East. It was supposed to touch down today. Well, it didn't touch down. It crashed down. Political and aerospace experts in the West speculated that the international sanctions on Russia following its invasion of Ukraine might have cut off its space program from access to key technologies. Okay, if that's the case, then why do you're having those problems? Why do you go ahead and send the rocket up anyway? Knowing or at least suspecting that it might crash. A successful operation could have shown that the Kremlin still has exceptional technological prowess. Well, it didn't show that. And there is more in terms of news that is worth covering. Obviously the idea that the Rojas, the Reds, the Spanish women's soccer team won the Women's World Cup 1-0. That has gotten a great deal of attention. And this for a soccer program that apparently had been troubled by all kinds of divisions. And speaking of sports and all kinds of divisions, there is a big piece in the New York Times, and this has followed several other big pieces. We haven't really talked about it because it all seemed to me to be very one-sided. This is a little bit more balanced. The headline, Memoirs Tell the Other Side of the Blind Side. The former NFL player Michael O'Hare, who inspired the feel-good film, says its narrative sold him short. The film came out in 2006. You probably remember it. It won the Oscar for Sandra Bullock. And it was a wonderful film. It was a lovely film, and it was actually deeply touching. And the character in that narrative, a black football player from a destitute background who was taken in by a white family and catapulted into Division I college football and then the NFL, has been frozen in amber since the book came out in 2006. And the book by Michael Lewis then inspired the film. The real O'Hare, who is now 37, has had a more complicated trajectory. On August 14th, he announced that he was suing to formally end his legal relationship with the family that took him in, claiming he had been tricked into signing away his decision-making powers and rights to his story. They have even imputed, because Michael O'Hare was black and because the family that took him in was white and conservative Christian, that there was some racism involved here. And the idea that somehow Michael O'Hara is now angry at the family that took him in, what he wrote, he has two different memoirs that talk about his own experience in addition to The Blind Side, the book by Michael Lewis the movie's based on. The most recent one is When Your Back's Against the Wall. And what he says at the very beginning of one of his books is, I was one of 12 kids. This is his new book. I was one of 12 kids. I don't remember anyone ever having a job, and no one in my family graduated from high school before me. Just about every adult in my life was addicted to crack cocaine. I barely knew my father before he was killed. I was on my own from age 7, going back and forth from foster care to living on the street. I attended 11 schools in 9 years. And on the dedication page of his previous book, he writes, I was one of 12 kids. Now he, on the dedication page, he writes, I Beat the Odds, a bestseller that came out in 2011. O'Hare wrote, to the Tui family, you are truly a blessing to me. Thank you for helping me to turn my dreams into reality. That was the family with which he is now feuding about the conservatorship that had been set up allegedly to help him. He says to take advantage of him, or some of his spokesmen now say. In the book's prologue, he mentions the Tui's book, In a Heartbeat, Sharing the Power of Cheerful Giving, 2010, came out while I Beat the Odds was underway. O'Hara alludes to at least one conflict involving the family. Quote, I've read some newspaper articles recently where Leanne Tui is quoted as saying, I would either be dead from a shooting or the bodyguard to some gang leader if I hadn't been taken in by their family, he writes. I think that had to have been a misquote, because despite the sensationalist things that make for a more dramatic story, what my family, and he means the Tui family, knows, and what I know, is that I would have found my way out of the ghetto one way or another. Failure was not an option for me. For the most part, though, O'Hare comes across as optimistic and upbeat, grateful for the many people who helped him over the years. His fourth grade teacher, a foster mother, the former coach who secured his spot at Briarcrest Christian Academy, his caseworkers, his teammates, their families, and the Tuies. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Palm Springs, California has a new daily summer rain record thanks to Tropical Storm Hillary.
Palm Springs, which got 0.9 inches of rain in about an hour, that is a new record. Palm Springs saw nearly 50% of its yearly average in a matter of 6 hours.
NBC's Priscilla Thompson says San Bernardino County saw 13 inches and the mountains of Riverside County recorded nearly a foot of rain. The number of people missing in Lahaina is now believed to be closer to 800. 450. That's according to a new FBI-vetted list. The number was recently believed to be as high as 2,000. 85% of the burned-out town of Lahaina has been searched by teams with cadaver dogs. The Biden administration is warning Americans not to travel to Belarus and urging those in the country to leave immediately. The State Department categorized the country as a level 4 risk, the highest security warning. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Just talking about the idea of sports and sentiment. Michael O'Hare, who is 37, is done with his professional football career, but obviously he has two books, and he was the subject of a very successful movie. And I think most people who saw the film The Blind Side, whatever liberties it took with the story, and it's clear that they did take some liberties with the story in terms of, I think, making all the characters seem more appealing and more loving toward one another than they may have actually been. But still, this story from Associated Press, Olga Carmona, whose goal won the Women's World Cup for Spain on Sunday, learned after the final of her father's death. Yeah, he had been ill and died while Carmona's mother and other relatives traveled to Australia to watch her play in the final, the Soccer Federation said early Monday, without giving more details on the cause of death. The family decided to wait until after the title celebrations to give Olga Carmona, who was the star of the entire game, the entire match, the news. And without knowing it, I had my star before the game started, Carmona said on X, formerly known as Twitter, along with a photo of her kissing the winner's medal. I know that you gave me the strength to achieve something unique. I know that you were watching me tonight and that you are proud of me. Rest in peace, Dad. What a story. And again, as you know, I'm not one of the world's greatest soccer fans. But to see some of the joy, and even for people who were rooting for the Lionesses, for the British team, the English team, it's almost impossible to watch some of this imagery and not to feel some of the emotion associated with it. Speaking of emotion associated with it, we have another international story under the heading of Blame Canada.
Blame Canada! Blame Canada! People with their beady little eyes and flapping heads are full of lies. Blame Canada! Blame Canada! It seems that everything's gone wrong since Canada came along. Blame Canada! Blame Canada!
They're not even a real country anyway.
Okay, this is a story. It is from the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Melanie Joly, says Canada has been considering a game plan for how it would respond in the event that the United States takes a far-right authoritarian shift after next year's presidential election. We are certainly working on scenarios, Joly said in French during an interview with a Montreal radio station last week. Joly added that Ottawa's close political and economic ties to the U.S. mean that we must certainly prepare several scenarios. In general, there is our game plan precisely to be able to manage what could be a rather difficult situation. What is she talking about? She's talking about what happens if Trump wins. I will work with my colleagues and with the mayors, the provincial premiers, with the business community, with the unions, with everybody in the country, so that we are ready regardless of the election outcome. Joly drew an analogy to her government's experience working with the administration of former U.S. President Donald Trump, which sought to limit long-established trade in crucial sectors. Trump is again running for the presidential nomination in next November's election, says the CBC, and has promised retribution against his opponents and civil servants. Does that mean retribution against Canada? They also cite a professor, Thomas Junot, who is at the University of Ottawa. He said what would have been extremely far-fetched scenarios maybe 10 years ago today are not impossible anymore. Juno said Canada could face the prospect of political refugees from the United States, people streaming out of our country if Trump is reelected, economic protectionism in one of the largest trading relationships in the world, and a shock to Ottawa's reliance on the U.S. for intelligence sharing and scientific cooperation. If an increasingly authoritarian U.S. is increasingly unilateral and dismissive of traditional alliances like NATO or arrangements like NORAD, that's the North Atlantic, it's basically the joint combination of forces to patrol the safety of all of North America. But how does that damage our security, Juno asked. He said another question Mark hovers over the prospect of American intervention in Canadian democratic processes. Far-right politicians in the U.S. voiced support for the Freedom Convoy protests in 2022. Those were the truckers who shut down Ottawa for a while because they were required to get vaccines. In September 2021, the Liberals promised to create a Canadian Center for Global Democracy to shore up the like-minded countries in an age of rising authoritarianism. The project has not yet been launched. And they quote another expert in foreign affairs, Michel Miralles, who says the withdrawal from the world stage initiated under Obama and amplified under Trump has proved disastrous, as it created a vacuum and quickly filled by the rival powers and opened a field of expansion for Russia, Mirvalli said at the time. This comes along with another newspaper, this from the CBC, this from the New York Times, with one of their veteran foreign reporters, Stephen Erlanger, big, huge headline that says EU leaders confront a terrifying prospect, the return of Trump. It's slightly terrifying, it's fair to say, said Stephen Everts, a European Union diplomat who was soon to become director of the European Union Institute for Security Studies. Given the enormous role the United States plays in European security, he added, we now have to think again about what this means for our own politics, for European defense, and for Ukraine itself. During his presidency, Mr. Trump threatened to pull out of NATO and withheld aid to Ukraine as it struggled with the Russian-backed insurgency, the subject of his first impeachment. He ordered the withdrawal of thousands of American troops from Germany, a move later overturned by Mr. Biden, and spoke with admiration of President Vladimir V. Putin of Russia. The idea that people embrace the slogan America First, which is obviously what part of the emphasis by the Trump administration and the Trump campaign has been, but the idea that these European nations and Canada are terrified of Trump becoming president, I don't think that's going to hurt him politically, unfortunately. Look, we are very blessed in the United States by our allies. Canada's one of the best countries in the world. It's one of the fairest, the most decent, highest standard of living. By the way, they did very well. They did much better than the United States in dealing with the COVID-19 emergency. The European allies that the United States has, Britain and Germany and France and the Baltics and Poland and the rest of them, also should be sympathetic. We should be sympathetic to them as they are sympathetic to us in defending the interests of decency and democracy. We'll be right back. You know how the line to the song goes, it's summertime and the living is easy. Well, it's not so easy, it's active. I mean, people try to get moving when it's summertime, which is why aches and pains really need to be dealt with. And the best way to deal with them that I've ever found is through Relief Factor. Take it every day. It really does help you feel better and move more easily. And it's entirely natural. It's extraordinary. Extraordinarily good for you. Go to michaelmedved.com. You can get Relief Factor with what they call a quick start, remarkably inexpensively. It's really a very special deal. And then you will probably become as regular a user as I am and millions of others. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start to make the most of your summer. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes, too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Michael Medved Show, one of the good things about the so-called culture war is that, in general, it's not a shooting war. In general, it is not the kind of battle with which people kill each other. But then occasionally, it is. There's a horrible story. But it's a story that's worth focusing on because it shows you what can happen when people go too far with impassioned political beliefs. This is from the Associated Press. The dateline is Cedar Glen, California. A California business owner was shot and killed after a dispute over an LGBTQ plus pride flag displayed outside her store, that, according to authorities. San Bernardino County Sheriff's official said Laura Ann Carlton, who was 66, was pronounced dead at the scene of the shooting on Friday night. Sheriff's officials said that during the initial altercation at Carlton's clothing store, the suspect made several disparaging remarks about a rainbow flag that stood outside the store before shooting Carlton. He then fled the scene after he shot her. Deputies were able to locate the armed suspect, and he was fatally shot after a confrontation with the officers. The man had not been identified as of Sunday. Carlton, who prepared to be called Lori, is survived by her husband, who's a male, and 9 children in a blended family. She owned and operated the Magpie clothing store in Cedar Glen. The unincorporated community in the San Bernardino Mountains is roughly 60 miles east of downtown Los Angeles, which is soaking wet right now with driving rains associated with Tropical Storm Hillary. In any event, an LGBTQ group in nearby Lake Arrowhead said that the victim, Lori Carlton, didn't identify as a member of the LGBTQ plus community, but she spent time helping and advocating for everyone, and was defending her pride flags placed in front of her shop on the night of the shooting. Again, for anyone to die, and both people died. Lori Carlton died, and the unidentified gunman died when he was headed off by deputies. To die over a gay pride flag? Really? Law enforcement agencies in several states, the AP reports, have investigated attacks on rainbow pride flags as potential hate crimes in recent years. Attacking a flag is unpleasant, but you can't compare attacking a piece of cloth, no matter how sacred the symbol may be to you. You can't compare that with attacking a human being and killing her. That is appalling. And then there is this. It's from the front page of the Seattle Times. And it's another troubling story. Three people were killed and six more were injured in an early morning shooting around a South Seattle hookah lounge Sunday. Officers responded to reports of the shooting at Rainier Hookah Lounge on the 2200 block of Rainier Avenue South just before 4:30 a.m. People stay in hookah lounges till 4:30 a.m., according to the Seattle Police Department. When the police arrived, they found three people, two men and a woman, inside and outside the lounge who had been shot. The two men, aged 22 and 32, died from their injuries at the scene. Seattle Fire Department medics took the woman, 30, to Harborview Medical Center in critical condition. She died later Sunday morning. While police were still on Rainier Avenue, dispatch officers received reports that more people with gunshot wounds had arrived at Harborview. Four men and a woman, ages 22 to 38, were in stable condition from the same shooting site at a hookah lounge on Rainier Avenue. And then there is this, which again is just sort of shocking. And when you believe in the broken windows effect, the fact that when things fall apart and there is no more order and things are chaotic around you, that it makes the world more dangerous and less livable. This is from the New York Daily News. A tidal wave of stray cats has hit New York City this summer, paralyzing its shelter system as volunteers scramble for solutions and call for more city action. The stray cats live hard lives, often sick and at risk of infection with missing eyes or missing limbs. They can also carry parasites and diseases, putting other cats or even people at risk. They poop on doorsteps and kill local wildlife like birds. There are so many that the typically timid animals have become a public nuisance in some hard-hit neighborhoods. Cat lovers and volunteers are calling for a stronger city response, more spay and neuter services, and for more people to adopt. We're not a developing country, said Joanlyn Freeman, who is founder of the New York City Cat Rescuer Alliance. We're a first world country. Why is it okay just to have packs of feral cats everywhere and have them in such bad condition? This is not normal. Feral cats are a sign of neglect, just like graffiti. There's the broken windows. These feral cats running amok everywhere, it should not be considered normal in New York City or anywhere. There's no official count of stray and feral cats, but most place the city's population at least 500,000, with some estimates as high as a million. Economic instability forced many families to move or get rid of pets they could no longer afford. That during the pandemic, others kept their cats but weren't able to get them spayed or neutered. The unfixed cats started reproducing, making the problem grow bigger and bigger. Cats can have up to 3 litters a year. I didn't know that. 3 litters a year? Can you imagine? With few places to turn, people kicked house cats out of their homes and placed boxes of their kittens on the streets and even under cars. Now colonies of cats are claiming block after block in outer borough neighborhoods. Stray cats lead rougher, more dangerous lives. They also compete with native wildlife like birds and can spread dangerous diseases. It is definitely a problem, said the co-founder of Bronx Community Cats. Free-roaming cats do impact wildlife. We all want the same thing. Nobody wants free-roaming cats in the environment. The problem is so huge that we all need to work together. Outdoor cats are the top transmitter of toxoplasmosis, a parasitic disease that can cause birth defects or miscarriage. According to Grant Sizemore, director of invasive species programs at the American Bird Conservancy, they're also the top domestic animal carrier of rabies. Who knew? Sizemore said cats can have dire consequences on the city's vibrant bird population, killing over 2 billion birds every year in the United States. We are absolutely experiencing a bird conservation crisis, he said, and the cats are one of the larger nails in that coffin. People have such warm, loving, even intimate feelings for their pet cats. But feral cats running around as if the city is some sort of jungle. This is a scary development, and I am sure that New York is not the only city with that challenge. The very latest about Maui coming up, we will talk about it. There's also a new polling out of Iowa with something that may not have been expected entirely. Plus ways to win or to lose or to destroy yourself or your own campaign in the debate. And that and more all coming up in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master plan destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.